We're listening to Amud V'Chasara, Daniel Eisenberg, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Nun Dalad Amud Beis, a new Mishnah. Continuing with certain things that animals can and cannot go out with, like kind of a parallel from the previous Amud. Masnisim, we learned in the Mishnah, Ein Chamor Yotzei B'Mardas B'Zman She'ein HaKashur Elo. A donkey is not allowed to go out with its mardas, with its warming blanket, when it was not tied on it before, or at a time where it's not tied on it, which, you know, we mentioned on the previous Amud, or previous staff, you know, for sure, if it's not tied, there's a problem, it's going to fall off, so we're saying no, but the donkey had to be tied Erev Shabbos. We'll see why. We'll allude to why, at least. V'lo bezug, and it cannot go out with a zug, is a ishklita. Ishklita, says Rashi, it's a bell. Afa pisha hu pakuk, even if it is stopped up, that it's not making a sound, which would already be a problem. I think in the previous summit, Rashi dealt with that. The Gemara referenced it, and Rashi mentioned that if it would make a sound, then that's one problem, making noise on Shabbos. But there is even if it's clogged up and the bell is not making a sound, it's still a problem according to this Mishnah. Velo besulam, and special for Parshas Vayetze and Yaakov's dream, and not with a ladder, but savaro shabbat savaro, on a ladder on its neck, which sounds not like a very unpleasant practice in general, that an animal had a ladder on its neck. We'll just take a quick glance at Rashi over here. So Rashi says, Sulam, the Gemara is going to discuss these things, but it says, Sulam v'retzua v'kol hanach demasnisam mefarish be'gemara. These next things that it's going to explain in the Gemara, what they are. We're about to see a list of things that are going to be hard to understand. Like, we'll take a look. We'll go back to the Gemara. We'll get back to this phrase. So, an animal can't go out, a donkey can't go out with its warming blanket when it's not tied to it. It can't go out with a bell, even if it's clogged, even if it's stuffed and not making a sound, and not with a ladder on its neck, some sort of hanging thing it's not a real ladder. I think it's shaped like a ladder. We'll see. V'lo beretsua sheberaglo, and not with a strap on its foot. Ve'ena tarnagolam yotzin bechutin, and the roosters can't go out with cords is better. V'lo beretsua sheberaglehem, and nor can they go out with a strap on their feet. Ve'ena zacharim Yotzim ba'agala shetacha sa'alia, and rams cannot go out with a wagon that's under their tail. Ha'alia shalahen, under their tail. Vein harachelim yotz. We'll explain what that is as well in the Gemara. Vein harachelim yotzos chanunos, and female sheep ewes cannot go out with chanunos, whatever that is. Vein ha'egel yotze begimon, and a calf can't go out with a gimon. Velo para beor hakupar, and a cow can't go out with the skin of a kupar, which is like a Rashi says it's a sheretz hu shenimav chadin kemachat v'koren lo haritzon. So it's like this small creature that has like prickly skin, like needles. Sounds like a porcupine, so it translates as a hedgehog. But something like that. There's some sort of I guess probably hedgehog is a more manageable one, but it's something with prickly skin that was put on a cow. Rashi says over here, koshen oro bedade hapara shelo yiniku ashrutz sharatzim. That basically they would put this hedgehog skinned covering, protective covering over the udder of a cow so that rodents wouldn't suckle from it. V'lo beretzua shebein karneha, you can't put a strap between its horns. Paraso sherebi Elazar ben Azarya hayesa yotza beretzua shebein karneha shelo beretzon chachamim. But the cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azarya would go out with a strap between its horns, and that was not in accordance with the will of the chachamim. So First of all, most of what we mentioned here, after the first two things are, they're hard words, like we don't really know what they're talking about, so the Gemara is going to explain most of them. Rashi says that. Rashi on Sulam, right after Rashi Ashava Afapi. So Rashi says, for Sulam, he says, Ritzua v'chol ha'anach demesnisim afarish v'gemar. We're going to explain what all those are in the Gemara. And he says, v'chuluhu mishum dechayis alayhu. And all of these, meaning the reason that all of these things would be usher for the animal to go out with, is because chayis alayhu, right? He's going to have pity on these things. And if they fall, he is likely to pick them up. Meaning that all of these things have some degree of value that he would, that it's not something that he would just like, you know, if it falls off in a Rosh Hasharab and he'll forego it, he's going to pick it up and then carry it in four amos without, carrying in four amos, which is usher. So that's the reason for almost everything on the list. We're going to see it. There's going to be a different reason for, or perhaps for the mardas and for the zug, the bell that we mentioned. So we're going to see a different reason in the Gemara for that. But for the rest of the things, says Rashi, the main reason is that if they fall, it's going to be a problem because you know, or there's a concern that if they fall, he's going to pick them up. Okay, so now let's take a look at the Gemara and start trying to explain these things. So my taima, kida amran. What's the reason? As we say. that's a nice piece of gemara right there. Okay, next. Velo bezug, no, I'm kidding. So my taima. So Rashi says, kida amran, she'ena kashura bo me'erev Shabbos. So he seems to be, Rashi understands that this my taima is referring to the first case. The chamor that we said cannot go out with its mardas in a zman where it's not kashura lo. So at a time where it's not tied to it, it can't go out with the warming blanket. So Rashi says, she'ena kashura bo me'erev Shabbos. As we explained previously in the Gemara, it doesn't mean that it's not tied on it at all, because if it's not tied on it at all, then obviously you can't go out, because it's going to fall off the animal. So if it's not, if the blanket is not tied on the animal, it's not fastened in a secure way, then of course you can't put it on the animal. But we're saying that it has to be done from Erev Shabbos, meaning you had to have put it on yesterday. Why? So Rashi says, "Delo gali me esmo shehei tzricha lekach shehei lemalbush." Because if you didn't put the warming blanket on the animal on Friday, so that kind of indicates that the animal doesn't really need it. Because if it needs it today, then it probably needed it yesterday also. And the fact that you're putting it on dafka for Shabbos kind of makes it look like it's a masoy, and that's why this would be a problem. Okay. V'lo bezug, back in the Gemara, v'lo bezug afa pishu pakuk, even though it's like stuffed up. Now she says sasum. Mishum de mechsi keman de azulechinga. Because it looks like somebody who's going to the chinga, which is like the marketplace. We saw in the previous amud, there was another thing that we're concerned about. If you lead camels, back-to-back camels, and you're leading the front one, it looks like you're bringing them to the chinga. Rashi over there says that it's based on macholos. It's like a lashon of dancing, because there's like such a rotation of all the stores. So that's the problem with the bell as well. That if an animal, even if it's not making noise, but the fact that you bring an animal out with a bell, the purpose of the bell, or I guess one of the main purposes of the bell, was to attract customers, and so if you bring it out, whether people hear it or not, it looks like he's going after the chinga, and that's a problem. Velo b'sulam shebetzavaro, and not the ladder on his neck or a ladder shaped thing on his neck. Amravuna be'loa. So it was something on the bay loa. Rashi says shekoshen etzel halechi, that it was something that's tied next to the cheek, right? So there's this bay loa of this, like, it's some sort of like a ladder shaped brace on its neck. What was the purpose of it, as we're about to see? Lumai avdile. So what do you do with this thing? Lahecha de islay maka. So for where there is a maka, if the animal has a wound, dlo hadar chayich bay, that it won't like turn back and scratch it. So basically, it's like one of these things to keep the right. Rashi says shelo yuchol lahachzir tzavaro letzav hamaka lechakka b'shinu yav, that you don't want the animal to, right? I mean, you've seen these dog things where they, you know, the cones, like there's some sort of brace that covers so they're not biting themselves and scratching themselves. So if an animal has a wound, they would put on this ladder-shaped brace, like around its neck, close to its cheeks, and that prevented it. And apparently there was some sort of value to this, that if it would fall off, you would want to, you'd want to pick it up. Rashi says, Rashi just clarifies that, wait, why is this any different from the splints we spoke about the other day, right? We mentioned that if an animal has a broken leg and there's like pieces of wood, these kashishin that are on the animal can go out with that. So what's the difference between this brace and that? So Rashi says, these are more chashuv than the splints that are on the broken bones. V'naflu, and if they fall, he might be over b'shogeg, carrying these things. So Rashi just clarifies that difference, again reiterating that point, that the main concern here is that these will fall and he'll end up carrying them. Okay. Velo beritzua shebaraglo, and it can't go with a strap on its feet. Da avdele legizra, that they do it, that they use it for like injuries, or the prevention of injuries. And Rashi explains that there's some that shapsiosehaktsarim, some animals that they I guess they have like small steps and that hurts their feet. The feet like rub into each other. Osin la kamin tabas shall aklaimo ritzuos avos vakoshinosa lamala mifarsos a regel makum shen nakshin zubazo. So there's some sort of apparatus that some contraption that prevents them from hurting themselves in their walking, because they walk in a small way. And again, these are like fancy orthotics for these animals that he would not be willing to lose on Shabbos if they fell off. And presumably they're not super secure, I guess. I don't know. I don't want to say that, but it's a fact. I mean, if it could be that's part of the chiddush here, that these things are rather secure, but they're so expensive or fancier, then that outweighs the concern that it's not such a big concern that they'll fall off. I'm not sure, but those would be two factors to think about, right? How willing the person is to lose the object, and as well as how secure and how likely it is to fall off. Okay. So roosters can't go out with cords. What are these cords we're talking about? So they're like little name tags, right? That they serve as a simon, so that they shouldn't be switched. So right, this rooster belongs to, right, Reuven. Of a little bit of tsua, and not the straps on the roosters. Da'avdilei kihechidelo litvaru mani. That they put straps on the roosters so that they will not break money. They will not break people's money, right? No, people's people's kalim. Rashi says over here, what would they do? So delo litru mani shakoshim shnei raglehal yachad. They would tie the chickens 2 feet together. Birtsua kitzara with a short strap. Shalotucha laharim raglehal lahatiz. And it will not be able to lift up its legs and like shoot out stones. Anybody who learned Bava Kama has seen various damages caused by these by these roosters and chickens hopping with things tied to them, buckets tied to them, strings tied to them. So this was something that was to prevent that. Ve'enas charem, back to the Gemara. Ve'enas charem yotzin ba'agala, and rams cannot go out with an agala, with a wagon. So Rashi actually says it earlier on the Mishnah, kigon karon katan. It's actually a small wagon, she'osin lo tacha zanavo, she'rosh zanav. Right, it was like a small wagon that was put ahead. Sorry, that was put under the tail. Osin ha'elim rachav kimin kar katan. Ve'en bo et, right, so that because there are some there's some rams with extra large tails, like a little pillow, Ve'ein bo etzem ela shuman va'av. Right? There's no bone in it. There's cartilage, some fat, whatever it is, in these in the tail. Ve'av ve'kaved, and they're thick and they're heavy. Uchshenigrar la'aretz nisrat. And when they're dragged on the ground, there'll be lacerations, v'nishchas, and they'll be destroyed. Vosin lo agala misgalgel lesachar kishu holech v'hazanav kashor leha. So they made these cute little wagons that they would attach to the ram, and that would their fat heavy tail would sit in the wagon, so it wouldn't be scratched up. So that's what we're talking about over here. So Rashi, it's interesting that Rashi felt the need to explain that one in the Mishnah, not even the Gemara. Oh, actually, I get the Gemara doesn't explain it so much. Okay, that's fair. Kihechi delo lechamtan alayse. So says the Gemara that it's so that it would not we had this chumtun lashon, like it wouldn't like crack up its and ruin its tail. Ve'en harachelim yotzeis chanunos, right? And again, in the theme of Parshas Vayetze, shout out to Rachel, and not the female sheep going out with their chanunos. Yosef Rav Acha Bar Ula commanded Rav Chisda. Rav Acha Bar Ula sat before Rav Chisda, and he said, Rav Chisda. V'Yosef, and he sat, v'kamar, and he said, Misha shegozes in osa tomnin la ezek b'shemen, umanichin la al padachta. Okay, so let's go back. So he said. He's explaining what this chanunos is. So he explains that from the time that misha shagozes in osa, from the time that they are sheared, tomnin la ezek b'shemen umanichan la apadachta. So they would tomnin means to hide it, but they would put it. They would put it into shemen. Or some sort of thing into shemen. Rashi says Ezek is semer gefen or kol davarach. It was cotton or anything that's soft. So they would like take some soft cloth, and they would put it in oil, and then wrap this around the sheep. Kedei shelo titztanein, so it wouldn't be cold, right? I just got a haircut, and the winter haircuts, you feel it, right? If you went a long time with not getting a haircut, and then in the winter you feel your head feels cold if it's cold. Baruch Hashem, we have beautiful weather, but this would happen to the sheep, right? Imagine a sheep is filled up with wool, and then you shear it all off, they'd be cold. So what do? So they would put they would dip some this ezek, this cloth, in oil. And then wrap it around the sheep so that it would not be cold. Padachta, says Rashi, is metzcha, its forehead. So it would put it on its forehead, and apparently this would help make it not be so cold. And that's what chanunos are. Amar le Rav Chisda said, Imkein asisa marukva. Asisa marukva. If so, if that's truly a practice, you turn the sheep into marukva. Rashi explains, what does that mean? That marukva was, asisa marukva. Nehages berachel zu chashivoso shel marukva. What you basically did is you conducted yourself with the sheep with the chashivos of marukva. Shahaya ashir va'av basin. He was a rich person and he was an av basin. V'chider chashivus alakach. Right? You have like the way you honor this sheep after shearing it. You dip this fancy cloth and fancy oil, put it on its forehead, checking it. Like this is very chashiv treatment for a sheep. There's no way chanunos is that. I think that's what it's saying. Like, don't tell me that this was like a standard practice of chanunos, so the Mishnah had to mention it. Elo Yosef Rav Papa Bar Shmuel Kameda Rav Chisda. So Rav Papa Bar Shmuel said instead before Rav Chisda, V'Yosef Akamar, and he said, B'shosh Shekoras Lialed, at the time where they would crouch down to give birth, the sheep, Tomnin La Shnei Azakin Shal Shemen, they would hide this, or dip or cover maybe like immerse, like hiding it, like putting it in the oil. They would take these azakin, these two claws, and put them in oil. So they would put one of these claws on the forehead and one on the rechem, on the animal's womb, in order that it should be heated up. And these are the chanunos. The chanunos are these oil-soaked cloths that were put on the forehead and the womb of a delivering animal, delivering sheep. Amalei Rav Nachman says, Im kein asisa yalta. If so, then you have made your sheep into yalta. So, I don't know if you remember yalta from Seches Brachos. It was Daf Nun Aleph. Right, where we're learning the 10 inyanim of a koshel bracha. And the last one was send it to the Bnei Beso. And Rav Nachman, I think, told Ula, I believe it was, sent some to Yalta, his wife. And Ula said, no, don't worry, a woman is blessed through her husband. So if you drink it, it's fine. Like all the bracha will be there. And Yalta broke 400 barrels of Ula's wine. And Rav Nachman was like, okay, that's one friend we can't go to anymore for Shabbos. So Yalta is Rav Nachman's wife. So over here, he says, if you do this for sheep, this treatment, this is what we do for Yalta. You're treating sheep like the way I treat Yalta. You know, this is, again, very, very high standard treatment of sheep, treating it like people, right? So the first version of Chanunos, that's like the way you pamper Mar Ukva, the massive Talmid Chacham Gadol Ador, as well as a very rich person. So the pampering he got, that's the way you pampering sheep like that? No, that's not Chanunos. Another Pshat Chanunos is, it's the way you treat these sheep when they're giving birth. And he says, that can't be a standard for treating sheep. That's the way I treat my wife when she gives birth. So Ella, Amar Rav Huna says, Eitz Echad Yesh Bekrachai Hayam V'Chanun Shamo. There is a tree in one of the cities of the sea, a distant land. There's a tree and it's called a chanun. Umevian kisem, and they bring a splint of wood, presumably from that tree. I guess from that tree. Omenichin la bechotma, and they place it in the nose of the sheep. Kedei shetis atesh, so that it will sneeze. V'yaflu darne rosha. And then the worms of its head will fall out. Right? Rashi says, darne is tolaim. So basically, one more time, what they would do is they would take this splint of wood from the chanun tree, and they would stick it in the nose of the sheep, and that would make them sneeze, and then the worms would fall out of their head. I'll just say, I do know a word of a modern Hebrew for the stuff that comes out of people's noses is chanun, and I didn't know if it was like of Hebrew origins or Arabic origins. There's a lot of Arabic in modern Hebrew, but there's also Aramaic in modern Hebrew. So as I saw this, I was thinking, I wonder if this chanun, which you know is the term for things that come out of people's noses, and this is the type of thing that they would put in a wood of chanun that they would stick in the sheep's nose for it, in order to make it sneeze, and the sneeze would shake up the worms and they would come out. Okay, so so this would be the chanun, the chanunos. Can they got the chanunos? And if it is. It's interesting if this is shot in the chanunos, because we're saying that, you know, this splint of wood, I guess it was rare, right? It's from Krachayam, from a faraway city, and that's why, you know, he's like, oh no, I can't lose my chanun. You know, my chanun falls in public. I got to get that back. What, that piece of wood that you stuck up a sheep's nose? Yes, like that's my chanun. Okay, but that could be a shot in chanunos. So that's a third. That's yet a third shot in chanunos. Now the Gemara asks, "Ihafi zechar nami." So what, why is it only Rachelos that you can that or Rachelim that right the female sheep that you have that mentions the chanunos? What about the males? So kevan dimenagche zecharim bahadade memela naflan, because they are always goring each other and hitting things and they're shaking their heads a lot. That's why they call them rams, right? They're ramming into each other, and therefore, the worms naturally fall out, and it's a necessary method for the sheep, for the female sheep. Shimon Nazira, Omar Kisma Derisma, and Shimon Nazira said that it was a Kisma Derisma, which is a kisem, right, a piece of wood. Of Rashi says kisem shel rosem shemenichin la bechotma, that it was rosem, some other material, some other tree. It wasn't made of it wasn't made of chanun. So if that's good, so bishlamad Rav Huna hainu dektani chanunos. So it makes sense what Rav Huna said, that it's called chanunos because it's from the chanun tree. El rabbanan my chanunos, but according to the other rabbanan, what's the chanunos? Right, especially this last one that you write, it's a different tree altogether. But the first two pshatim also, where do you see chanunos? Right, if it's a type of cloth that you put on the animal's forehead or on the animal's womb and forehead, or is it the rusam wood that you stuck in the nose? Why is it called chanunos? One answer is devdinan lehu milsa demarachminan alayhu, because all of them they are actions that are demonstrating rachmanus on the animals, right? So chanun is like a lashon of chonein, of to be gracious and giving. So over here is usually a lashon of rachmanus, but that idea, the chanunos over here means gracious, the gracious things, the act, the chanunos are items that are placed on the animal out of the grace of mankind. So whether it's the wood to clear the worms from the animal's head, or these cloths to comfort the animal that's delivering a child, or the animals that was just sheared, but these are chanunos. It's not named for any chanun tree. The Gemara continues. Ve'negel yotze begimon. We said a calf cannot go out with a gimon. What is a gimon? So my egel begimon, what is an egel begimon? Amar Rav Huna bar nira. Rav Huna, no, this is not his name. This is his answer, right? Amar Rav Huna says it's bar nira. It's a bar nira. Rashi says ol katan shemanichin la'egel b'tzavaro. It's a small yoke that is placed on it on a calf on its neck. Sheyye lamod lechov rosho l'shechayigdal, so that he will learn to bend his head for when he gets older. So basically, even though a calf typically doesn't wear a yoke, but it's some sort of structure that makes it feel like a yoke. So a calf, even at a young age, will learn to humble itself. Will learn to lower its head and accept a yoke on it. I'm sure there's a lot of chinuch vartlach based on this, of teaching children to have this humility when they're younger and that kind of thing. Even when it's not, doesn't necessarily apply for now, but just for chinuch reasons. So that's. This is the chinuch of a little cow, a calf. Okay, Amar Rabbi Lozar, my mashma dahai gimon lishna demekaf. Right, so we called it a gimon. Right, so how do you know gimon is a lashon of folding over, of bending over, of right, causing the animal to bend over? Because the pasuk says halachov ke'agmon rosho, which is so. This is a pasuk in Yeshayahu where Yeshayahu is asking in Hashem's name. If he wanted like just external tshuva, and that did he want halakov ka'agmon rosho? Did I want the bending of his head like an agmon, which is a fish hook, which is bent? So he's asked, right? This is Yeshayahu. He's saying, does Hashem just want the external bending your head like a fish hook? So agmon is a fish hook, and specifically being noted for its bentness. So over here, the lashon of gimon is like agmon, and therefore it's specifically something about bending. And the gimon of the egel is the small yoke that teaches it to bend its neck down. Okay. Vilo para beor hakupar. And not a cow with the skin of a hedgehog, again covering numbers. Da'avdila kiheichi delo mitsuya yali, that they do it so that there will not be yali by it. Yali shelo yinukua aluka shakorin shneush, which also is translated as I think leeches. So I don't know why Rashi seems to have changed. Right, Rashi mentioned earlier with Shiratzim, and now over here it's this Yali thing. I don't know why that changed. Tosos actually says ve'in nir de'in mitzotos ella dam. He says, but wait, hold on. Leeches only drink blood. Leeches are blood suckers, not milk suckers. So what's going on here? Right, so and then they say the end. He says, I think it's the Hirtzon. And the Hirtzon is, that's what Rashi said earlier on Kupar, right? The Hirtzon, right? Meaning hedgehogs. So Tosas is saying, I think that's actually the hedgehogs that we're trying to prevent from suckling from the cow. So I don't know why Rashi... I know why Rashi changed from Yali. I just don't know why Rashi earlier talks about Shratzim, and then says over down here that Yali is leeches. But right, you hear my questions? I'm not sure if I made that clear in the order, right? Rashi earlier in the Mishnah, he says that the reason for this udder covering is to prevent Shiratzim from nursing from the cow. And then the Gemara over here says it's this Yali that we're concerned about nursing from the cow. And Rashi says over here, the Yali, that's leeches. What do you mean it's leeches? You said earlier that it's Shiratzim, not leeches. And Tosfos has a different question. Leeches suck blood, not milk. I haven't been lying yet. That if you notice anything or see anything, hear anything, let me know. Okay, let's pick up the pace a little bit. Velo beretzua shebein karneha, and you can't go out with the cow with the strap between its horns. So ila rav bein lanoi bein lashamer asur ila shmuel lanoi asur lashamer mutter. Going back to the machlokas we saw previously in Bays about rav and shmuel, whether it can go out for noi. For Shamir, if it's protecting it, then there's something to talk about. No, everyone disagrees. But over here, this is not a refutation to either Shmuel or Rav. It's talking about the Noi over here, and then everyone would agree that it is a problem. Parasa Shrobi Elazar ben Azariah, so that we said the cow Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah went out with this Ritsua, and it wasn't, and the Chacham were not happy with it. So the Chada Para Havile? Did he, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, only have one Para? Va'amarav, va'amrila amarav Yehuda amarav, tracer alfe eglehava meiser, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, me adreha, kol shata v'shata. That Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would give tracer alfe, so 12,000 calves were his meiser that he would give every single year. 12,000 calves were his meiser, so you multiply that by 10. That's how wealthy he was, right? We know he was wealthy. In the Gemara in Brachos Daf Chavches, where right, he was one of the reasons he was chosen to be the Rosh Yeshiva in place of Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Gamliel was deposed, but one of the reasons was that he's wealthy and he can bribe the authorities, the Roman authorities, if need be. So we see he was very wealthy. What do you mean the cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah went out? That doesn't really seem to make sense. Tana, so it was taught lo shelo ha'yasa. It wasn't his cow. Elashel shchena so ha'yasa. It was actually his neighbor's cow. And since he didn't protest her, so it was a female neighbor, right? The female, his neighbor went out with her cow went out with a strap on it, and he didn't say anything about it. So because of that, Nikrais al Shemo, it's called the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's cow, even though he didn't. It wasn't his cow. Just like the Mishnah is like, I don't want to say taking a shot at Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but it's attributing this negative thing to him because he had the ability to protest and he did not. Rav Rabbi Chanina, and we'll speak about that for a little bit. Rav Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Chaviva, Masnu. So these four Tanai Amoraim taught, and Bekule de Seder Moed, Kol ki haizuga chalufei Rabbi Yochanan umayal Rabbi Yonasan. And whenever you see this quartet, whatever it is, these four Amoraim together in Seder Moed, you replace Rabbi Yochanan with Rabbi Yonasan. And you'll see this comment often when it introduces these four Amoraim throughout other places in Shas. It mentions, and whenever you see this group in this Seder, you replace Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonasan. Those two are interchangeable. So anyway, what do they teach? They taught, Kol mi she'efshar limchos la'anshe beiso v'lo micha, nispas al anshe beiso. Anybody who has the ability to protest against the members of his family about something, and he doesn't do it, he is seized over the anshe beiso, meaning it's attributed to him. He takes responsibility. But anshe iro, if you have the ability, right, you're a leading figure in your community, you have the ability to stand up and make a difference, and you don't, nispas anshe iro, so you are seized over that sin as well. B'chol ha'olam kulo, for the entire world, if you are someone who has the ability to change the world, nispas al kol olam kulo, you are seized upon that. Rashi just comments here interestingly. He says, he defines the whole world, he says it's like the yeshiva world, right? He says, b'chol olam kulo, b'chol Yisrael, Jews, kigon melech v'nasi shef shalom limchos, she'yirein mipnei mekayim in dvarav. Like the Torah world, if you have the ability to influence them, I don't know why Rashi feels the need to limit it. I don't know if everyone will say that. It could just be that, you know, some maybe of the, like, ultimately Klai Yisrael have a responsibility to influence the whole world, obviously. Though I guess Rashi is saying that's not our priority, and especially not in Gullus. It's not our priority to try to influence all the Goyim. We focus on ourselves. But ultimately, when we're living in Eretz Yisrael and Mashiach is here, so ki mitzion teitse saro dvar Hashem Yerushalayim is the statement of the Goyim, that they're going to come to us for Hadracha. But I guess until that point, says Rashi, the world that you have to influence is the Jewish world. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, V'hani de Beresh Galusa nispasu al kuli alma. And these people that are in the Beresh Galusa, they're seized over the entire world. Again, the Resh Galusa, the exilarch, the one who's in charge of the Golas, he has a tremendous influence, and therefore he, since he has tremendous influence, he is going to be held responsible.